lose a ball game.
Welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. Here are your hosts, Brooks and Drew.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Getting everything kind of worked out, ready to go for Southern Miss. We're not going to be able to go down to Hattiesburg, which is a little bit disappointing, but life gets in the way and that kind of thing. But still really excited about the game Saturday. Excited to talk about Murray State as well. But, yeah, Brooks, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing good. Like you said, I hate not to make this trip because, you know, this is another one kind of like Georgia Southern, somebody who I think we played them a good bit or a little bit here and there in the early FCS days, but certainly a stadium I've never been to, and I've heard Hattiesburg is a really cool place. So, but hate to have to miss that one. But maybe we'll get back down there someday. Excited to talk about Murray. Murray and looking ahead to Southern Miss this week. The game will be at 6:30. Or 6, I believe, Central Time on ESPN Plus. As of right now, Southern Miss is a 3.5-point favorite. Just some kind of look-ahead stuff. We'll deep dive into Southern Miss here in a little bit, but we'll start off with the Murray game. it was certainly what it needed to be. A little bit of a slow start for sure. Those first three drives just did not, honestly, they did not look good. And it's kind of, we've talked about it here and there about, you know, those, we'll have those drives where we come out, and they're obviously scripted, where we're going to run two draw plays with Cook or whoever the running back is. Sometimes he'll peel a couple off, but most of the time, you know, the defenses are prepared for it and you get stuffed. And then on third down, we either run another draw play or run a halfback screen, run a wide receiver bubble screen, just something short, and it just and they get blown up. And that kind of frustrated me to see still. But after that, when we really opened up the offense, and you know, played that balance, that nice balance attack of run plays, screen plays, deep balls, crossing routes. Just really mix up the offense to keep the defense on their toes. I thought we settled into the game a lot better. And I thought we corrected a lot of the things that we needed to correct, especially on defense. I thought tackling was a lot better. We did a pretty good job of getting to Jim Ogle. We ended up having a couple sacks, didn't we?
Let's go back here and see. Yeah, we had two as a team. Christopher Johnson had a sack, and then Quay Hood and Daryl Prater split a sack.
That's right. So yeah, getting pressure on the quarterback and really disrupting him. Like I said, going into this game, that was a key point that I really wanted to see. This defensive front get back into rhythm with defensive backs played a lot better. Of course, we had the two turnovers from Trevor Woods and Walker Osteen. Local kid got his first turnover of the year. He is another one that's continuing to just get better and better with each game. I thought, you know, at the start of the year, Thaxton Gallagher might be his job to lose, because he did have an impressive first couple games. But with the injury, that gave Walker Osteen an opportunity to step in. And so far he's passed with flying colors. I'm really impressed with what I've seen so far out of him. The only thing that I'll really critique about this defense is it's still the crossing routes and the slants over the middle, because the two or three linebackers that we put in that zone right there, it doesn't matter who we're playing. Offense just eats it up. That's how Murray didn't have a whole lot of yards by any stretch of the imagination, but where they were able to get that production from, it was it, it was there. It was over the middle. And that's another one, you know, I think Braylon Braxton threw the ball 38 times. He likes the deep ball, but they're going to watch film and they're going to know that's our weakest point on defense is throwing the ball, in the vicinity of the linebackers. I say in the vicinity because they're usually, you know, like I said, 3 or 4 steps off a receiver sitting in zone. It just watching the quarterback more than they are the ball. That's the best I can break it down. I'm not a huge X's and O's guy, but nonetheless, it was still overall, I thought it was a very impressive showing. It was what we needed to do, improve on the things that we didn't do well against Georgia Southern and a little bit against Liberty and UCF too. Wimsatt had a good day. Nothing to write home about really, but he had a good day, both through the air and on the ground. Cam Cook continues to just be an absolute phenom. Rex Steiner finally had a little bit of a breakout game for this year. Caleb Coombs had a touchdown. Caleb Coombs got the ball a lot. We saw Caden Creel finally get his first touchdown in a Gamecock uniform. So I was really happy for him. Even returned a couple punts or a punt. I thought that was very interesting.
Fair caught a few and then returned one. His versatility seems to have no limits. Interesting to see if that was going to be a Murray State only thing or something we might see. I was wondering if, you know, maybe they were going to try a throwback to one of the gunners, if he could get downfield fast enough to kind of get a backwards pass from Creel on the opposite side of the field from where Creel was. We never saw that. I don't know if that was a plan or if that is a plan. But yeah, it was certainly interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I wonder if just they know this kid, because for the most part, other than, you know, those 3 plays against Georgia Southern, every time he's had the ball in his hands, he's made a pretty big play. The kid's just he's a phenomenal athlete. And I think, you know, the coaching staff sees that and figure, you know, whether it's a quarterback, running back, receiver, and apparently punt returner, they need to figure out a way to get this kid on the field, and they're doing everything they can to give him that opportunity. And, for the most part, he's shown, you know, it's paying dividends. Like I said, had the three plays, against Georgia Southern that got blown up every time, but that was Georgia Southern's a good team, and that was entirely predictable. They prepped very well for that the entire game, but certainly for the Caden Creel package. The one thing that you know didn't blow me away with the defense. The one thing that I'm concerned with the offense now, especially if they still want him to, you know, keep starting and play, you know, play a pretty prominent role in this offense. I hate to say it, but I think we're starting to figure out why DeAndre Johnson didn't get a ton of playing time at Rutgers. I think he had 2 targets, maybe. I think he even had a third, and both of them hit him pretty square in the hands, and he just dropped them. And that's not the first time that's happened this season so far. Starting to get kind of concerned, because I think he's a phenomenal athlete when he does have the ball in his hands. He can make big plays. But that's been the problem. And we've seen drops from him in a few other games. saw it against Georgia Southern, a couple times against Liberty too, where ball hit him. Wasn't always the greatest throw, but the ball hit him in the hands. And at this level of competition, you got to make a play. And so far, he's been pretty 50-50 with it. And I hate it because I was really excited to see him come in, and I know you were, Drew. We're really excited to see him in the J-Day game and know that potential's there for him, but just starting to get concerned with him. But.
Yeah. Having no catches against Murray State's doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, I agree. Especially when, you know, the other 2 starters, Rex Steiner and Coombs, each had 5, and you know, Rick Sterner had a big day with another touchdown. But he's going to play just from
how much attention he has to, really should have to acquire from the defense. Drops are something that can be fixed. He'll get better as the year goes. I think that's kind of the silver lining is, you know, with more playing time at this level, I think that problem can be solved. It's just, we'll talk about it in a minute. Southern Miss is good against the run defensively. That problem may need to be solved this weekend, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But, yeah, I agree. The drops are a little bit of an issue because, you know, we've seen really already more passes to his way when he's one-on-one with a corner than I thought we'd see all year, because I thought those one-on-one spots with a corner, he would catch 75 or 80% of them, or at least could. We haven't seen that yet, so defenses are still kind of leaving him one-on-one. But if he can turn half of those drops into catches, I think you'll see a different offense. So under no circumstances giving up on him, right? Drops are something that happens early on in the year. He has not had a lot of collegiate playing time anyway. So if that's something that can be improved upon over the year, I still have a lot of faith that he can be a big part of the offense throughout the year. But a couple things real quick we'll highlight here before we move on. Cam Cook, like Brooks said, 22 carries, 147 yards, and 2 touchdowns. He is the offense. He is, what, 5th in the country in rushing yards at this point. So, you know, last year we watched Trey Stewart in that top 3 all year. It looks like Cam Cook will be the same way this year, which is going to be a lot of fun to watch. He looked, like we've said a few times, untackleable at points. In this game, Murray State did not have an answer for him from time to time. So that was the big part of the offense. Obviously, Rec Center had a big day. Wimsatt, 17 to 31 in a touchdown. Thought he played all right. He did not run the ball much this game. 3 carries for 50 yards. Did have the really long scramble touchdown run there before the end of the first half, which was a really nice play to see. I think he scored from 28 yards out there. But kind of like you said earlier, the offense getting off to a slow start. It seemed less to me, you know, we've like you said, Brooks, we've seen the offense kind of come out and run, you know, run halfback dive, it seems like 3 times, and then punt, which I know there's more that goes on than that, but that's what it seems like. I don't know if that was the case for the first 3 drives. It almost seemed more like a team that had played 3 really close games to start the year and were just exhausted and were like, all right, we've got an easy one, let's show up and win, and we just weren't on our P's and Q's to start the game, and then we got to that point by the middle of the second quarter, and it looked obviously really good after that. So that may be more of it there with the offense, is just we were kind of sleepwalking through those first 2 or 3 drives, more so than maybe some of the play calling that we've seen. And to speak on the play calling, to your point, Brooks, it has seemed like at times this year it takes, you know, 2 drives to be stopped for us to open the playbook up and then run the offense. But against Georgia Southern, we didn't see that. They scored, you know, the first 2 or 3 times they touched it. So the playbook seemed to be open for those first couple drives. So I don't know if it was so much of a scheme or a scripted issue like we've seen, and more so we were just kind of half asleep for those first couple drives and then got the issue squared away. Because I was more than happy with Clint Trickett's offense against Georgia Southern. Actually, really happy. Well, the offense against Georgia Southern, and I was too after the first couple drives here. A couple things I'll highlight defensively. Max Sanders got a lot of playing time due to a lot of the linebacker injuries that we've seen. True freshman played really good, had 6 tackles, and you know had a half tackle for loss. Traquan Fagans broke up 2 passes, which was good to see. Chase Alexander played well, and then obviously there were just a ton of subs and stuff we got to see, but I just wanted to highlight Max Sanders. Of course, Walker Osteen with the interception was really good to see. So a lot of faces in and out defensively, which was good. Miles Butler did play, which was something we looked at. So he got a little bit of playing time after he was missed most of the game against Georgia Southern. But overall, the game was, like Brooke said, what was supposed to be. You know, if Jack State scores on those first 3 drives, this game is 60-something to 10. If they don't fumble on their own 3-yard line and have a handoff issue between Wimsatt and Cam Cook, this game is 60-something to 3 or 50-something to 3. So The 45-10, I think the spread was 35.5, so whoops. But, you know, the 45-10 score doesn't tell the full story. They were leaps and bounds, obviously, better than Murray State and should have won the game, like we said, by 60. Just didn't go our way for those first couple drives. But overall, like we said, we left the week pretty healthy. The game was what it was supposed to be. Last thing, Caden Creel's drive at quarterback. LeBrooks, like you said, he got in the end zone. It looked really good. I know that was against Murray State's probably second or third string defense, so I don't know how much you learned from that. But his drive at quarterback looked really good. Cade Cunningham's unfortunately did not. Now, I know Cunningham didn't really get to throw the ball. He went three and out and threw it once, and there was miscommunication on that throw there. But Caden Creel's drive at quarterback did look really nice. Ended up with a rushing touchdown for Cade. So overall, like Brooke said, the game was what we thought it was going to be, what it was supposed to be. It was a nice, relaxed game after those first three were all nail biters all the way down to the end. So overall, we're happy with what we saw and ready to get into Hattiesburg this weekend. Before we move on to talk about Southern Miss, we had quite the weekend for Conference USA. Couple games we'll highlight, and some of these we'll skip over. Texas beat Sam Houston 55-0. Nothing to talk about. They're 0-4. It is what it is. Marshall got the better of Middle Tennessee. One thing I do want to talk about there, Missouri State did beat Marshall, so you can kind of draw conclusions from there about where MTSU might be, and where they are is not a great place to be. They're 1-3. Their only win was on the road at Nevada, which actually seems like a nicer win now than what it did when they originally won. But to be fair, they did lose to a Marshall team by 14 that Missouri State handled. And then UTEP at home against UL Monroe. That's not a good look for the conference. Monroe is not a great football team there in the Sun Belt. They are probably the bottom of the barrel there. So that's a tough loss for UTEP. And then Missouri State took care of business against UT Martin, much like what JSU did against Murray. And then some of the obviously more interesting games of the weekend. Liberty still does not look to be where they need to be. At home against James Madison, they got beat 31-13. Now, James Madison did score 14 points in the fourth quarter. 14 unanswered, so the game was 17-13 in the fourth quarter, a little bit tighter than what maybe the final score looks like there, but that's still a 1-3 start for Liberty, who was obviously everybody's pick to win the conference and maybe even have a dark horse shot at the playoff. That is certainly not going to happen now. Kennesaw State, huge win at home to get to 2-2. I know Arkansas State is right there with UL Monroe as one of the bottom Sun Belt teams, but you know, from where Kennesaw was last year, any home victory or any victory at all over an FBS team is really good for Kennesaw. A 28-21 win against Arkansas State is good for that program. They did lead 21-0 after the first quarter and then just slowly let Arkansas State get back in the game. Either way, they're able to finish out and get the win. Western Kentucky 31, Nevada 16. That was a game that was in Bowling Green. That game was really tight late. Western scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. They were down at one point. They had an onside kick return for a touchdown to make the score look a little bit better than it was, but not an overwhelmingly good day from Western. Nevada's 1-3. Like I said, they lost to Middle, so Western, you know, playing a tight game with them at home is probably a little bit tough for the Hilltopper fans to see, but, you know, a win's a win. They're 3-1. And then for me, the game of the week. And our new, if you saw us on Twitter, our new number one team in the conference is Louisiana Tech. They took care of Southern Miss 30-20. Obviously, that's a team that Jack State sees this week, so that's a very interesting score from our perspective. But La Tech is 3-1. Their only loss is a relatively close game against LSU. It's 24-7, and they took care of Southern Miss 30-20. To be fair, Braylon Braxton did throw for almost 400 yards and two touchdowns against La Tech, but it didn't really translate into points. I mean, they only scored 20, did the Eagles. So La Tech, 3-1, looks like they are rolling right now. Jack State does not get them in the regular season. But if Jack State has aspirations to win this conference again, it may be in Ruston is where that conference title game may take place, because Louisiana Tech looks really good offensively and defensively. They did score all 30 of their points in the first half. That game was 30-10 going in the locker room, and they did not score in the second half. So maybe you kind of learned something new that Southern Miss may have solved their offense. But either way, a 3-1 start for the Bulldogs down there in Ruston is a really good way to start the season. They have played 3 home games against not great competition. I wouldn't call Southern Miss bad competition, but certainly not. Obviously, JSU is going to go down to Hattiesburg, and we expect to get that win this weekend. But either way, La Tech 3-1 is off to a great start and probably the number 1 team in the conference. And then Delaware, if you're going to put a team at number 2, it might be Delaware, because they are also 3-1. They went to Pitt Bowl Stadium in Miami and beat FIU 38-16. Extremely impressive win for the Blue Hens. They look like they're going to be a problem this year and probably a lot of years after in this conference and be one of the top competitors, which is something that we talked about being a strong likelihood when they joined. Missouri State is already playing better than I thought they would in year 1 at 2-2, with that win against Marshall. But Delaware starting out 3-1, I am not really surprised by that. As a very well-coached team, and they look to be a problem. The good news is for JSU, they get them at home this year, and Delaware not eligible for the conference title game in year 1 because they look to be a team that certainly could finish in the top 2 in this conference if things go their way. But that's my half of the conference wrap-up. I'll let Brooks highlight a few games. They are probably Delaware and Louisiana Tech. But it was a week that we thought we'd learn a lot about some teams in the conference, and we certainly did learn a lot about Delaware and Louisiana Tech. I think we learned a little bit about Western Kentucky there as well, not playing up to their standard against Nevada, and that was a home game for Western. So a great week in the conference, at least to glean information. Brooks, let you give us your thoughts on that slate.
Yeah, like you said, this was going to be the week that we learned a lot about this conference, and we certainly did. I think the biggest takeaway from this week was, with the exception of the bottom of the barrel, the Middle Tennessee, Sam Houston. And even then, they've just had we'll see what they look like once conference play kicks off. They've just had a brutal start to the year with a non-conference schedule that they have. This conference is wide open. There's a handful of teams that could be in contention to win this. Obviously, I think Jack State's still in it all the way. if Delaware and Missouri State were eligible, I would certainly throw them in. They could be that wrench that gets thrown into a couple team schedule, really, give that Western, Louisiana Tech, an unexpected loss, and really throw a wrench into things in the conference standings. But so far, like you said, Louisiana Tech has looked to be the best. I fully agree. They've been the most consistent program in conference. Even with the one loss that they had, they played tight with the number 3 team in the country, in LSU, in a very, very tough road environment. And don't let that score fool you. I know Braylon Braxton, like you said, threw for a ton of yards, but to me, that game was never really that close. Because it was kind of what we saw from Middle Tennessee last year, where they could get yards, they could move the ball up and down the field, but they just couldn't turn them into points. We saw that just about every game last year for Middle, and it's kind of what we saw from Southern Miss this week. And I wouldn't expect it to. I don't know that I expect that same performance from the Golden Eagles this week, just because it's at home, different environment, different team, all that. They certainly know the holes in our defense. We'll get into that here in a little bit. Western Kentucky, I think, is still certainly alive in the mix for a conference championship, but they just look very up and down. Like you said, had a real slow start and had to have a little bit of luck, a little bit of grit to come back and, you know, eventually run away with that Nevada game. So we're still a little iffy about them. Kennesaw certainly much more improved than we expected them to be. You know, we thought when Jack State plays them at home here in about a month or so, or a little longer, that would be a runaway win, an easy win. Go ahead and market the W, and I wouldn't quite do that yet. Certainly a lot of quick turnaround for Jerry Mack and this Owl squad. don't sleep on FIU yet. I'm still pretty high on them. I think Delaware is just really good. I think Delaware is just really, really good, and I'm glad we get an off week before we got to play them at home, because we're going to need it. I know we got an off week next week. I'm glad we get Sam Houston before we play them. Maybe use that if Sam Houston's as bad as we hope they are, maybe use that game for another adjustment game. But I wouldn't sleep on them. I still think Kewan Jenkins did not have the greatest of games. It's Blue Hens, I believe, through two picks. Yeah, 22 of 34, 203 yards, and two picks, had the one score. And not really a whole lot on the ground, only had 5 yards on 10 carries. But I think the kid's a phenomenal athlete. I think they've got some talent on that team that they could still be dangerous and, again, you know, throw a wrench into some conference schedules. And then Liberty. I think the Ethan Vasco hype train, but I think his run is experience. Yeah, there we go. I think it's starting to come to an end, because he had a great day on the ground, 11 carries for 52 yards and a score, but through the air, 4 of 10, 37 yards and nothing. Just could not, and watch the game. I don't think he got hurt or anything, because they put in two different quarterbacks afterwards. Michael Berdinger and Ethan Hawk, or Huck. That name sounds familiar.
Brooks, I actually do believe Vasco got hurt.
Okay. That would explain it then. So, I mean, that didn't help their case, but I don't think they win this game with Ethan Vasco. I think he's a good athlete, but some of his decision making is just not what Liberty needs. Certainly to be in the, you know, to be where the university and really everyone expects them to be. Certainly not at 1-3. And depending on how long you start, we're about to really find out how good a coach Jamie Chadwell is, and see how he adjusts to, you know, losing a starting quarterback. But just very surprising start so far. And I know James Madison's good. You know, a lot of people are still picking them to be a sleeper. 2-1. A lot of people had them, you know, being a potential playoff pick. But, you know, Liberty should be right there with them. I think they should be right there with them year in and year out. And just a weird start so far, or shocking, really, start for Liberty.
And it doesn't get easier.
No.
I guess while we're here, we can a little bit of a lighter weekend conference, and we'll finish out with the Southern Miss stuff. But Liberty goes to Old Dominion. Now, at the beginning of the year, this would have likely been projected to be a big win for Liberty. Old Dominion's 2-1. They just blew Virginia Tech out of the water and got Brent Pry fired. And I know Virginia Tech's not a good football team at all. But either way, their only loss is to Indiana by 13. And Indiana looks like a playoff team after what they did to Illinois this last weekend. So Liberty on the road to Old Dominion. They're already 16.5-point underdogs in this game. And it looks like a 1-4 start for Liberty, unless they can really figure something out before they go down to, I think Norfolk is where Old Dominion is, because the Monarchs are having a really nice year. Other than that, we have the Rio Grande rivalry this week between Mexico State and New Mexico.
Both teams are at 2-1, but New Mexico seems they're favored by 14.5. They just beat UCLA and got their coach fired. So New Mexico certainly seems to be the more favored team. We'll see what the Aggies look like on the road in Albuquerque. Middle Tennessee State and Kennesaw in one of three conference games. And then Western Kentucky goes to Missouri State, and La Tech goes to the Sun Bowl in El Paso to get UTEP. So a little bit of a lighter slate this week in conference. We'll go through that real quick. But obviously the big game for us is Jackson State, Southern Miss. That might be the biggest game in conference is JSU and Southern Miss. Besides some of those conference games with Middle and Kennesaw or Western and Missouri State, I expect Louisiana Tech to kind of run through UTEP and the Sun Bowl down there. But as far as profile goes, JSU probably the biggest conference game this weekend, especially with how much Liberty has struggled and the likelihood of Old Dominion winning that game by multiple touchdowns.
Yeah, and the game that sticks out to me, I think our game probably is the biggest game. But the game that sticks out to me the most is Western Kentucky, Missouri State. I think this is where we really find out, because Western Kentucky's been shaky. Missouri State so far has looked pretty good. I think we're really – this will be first conference game at home for Missouri State. I'm sure it'll be a raucous environment for Western. I think we'll really, you know, really learn a lot more about Maverick McIver. I think there's going to be a lot of questions answered in this game. I'm really excited to see it. Other than that, expect La Tech to take care of business against UTEP. I know it's at the Sun Bowl, but they're only a 4.5-point favorite. That's I think they ought to run over them if they look like they have so far. Liberty, Old Dominion, like you said, Old Dominion, an overwhelming favorite, 16.5. See if they can get anything going with this. Like I said, I have to look a little bit more into Ethan Fasco's injury, but see if they can. This would be a huge turnaround win for Jamie Chadwell if they can get the train back on the track on the road against a very good Old Dominion team.
The season honestly could be on the line for Liberty. I mean, if you start 1-4, the likelihood that they even go bowling at the end of the year goes way down.
Yeah, and that's something else you got to think of, because I wonder. I don't think Liberty's missed a bowl game since they moved up. Not that I can remember.
Can't imagine.
And I know Hugh Freeze really got them going when they moved up. I don't think they may have missed one the first year just because of ineligibility. But other than that, yeah, this will be a. Like you said, the season will be on the line, could potentially be on the line right here for Liberty. Kennesaw Middle at home. If Kennesaw keeps improving like they have each week, this has the potential to be a runaway game. Middle's so funny. They'll look really good 1 week and then just look like crap the next. So I think we'll figure out a little bit more against Middle. But.
And it's hard to trust Kennesaw still. Like, for me, for Kennesaw State, show us you're improved and go win this game convincingly. Or just win the game in general from where they were last year. Like, don't fumble away a home game against what we think is one of the two or three weaker teams or weakest teams in the conference. Show us you've improved like we expected you have and win this game at home. Then they'll be at 3-2, and you can kind of start to believe in Kennesaw again. Because, I mean, still, a win against Arkansas State and a close game against Wake Forest doesn't all the way get me there yet. Wake is terrible, and Arkansas State is equally as bad. So show us you're improved and win a game against really another bad team. But go win by 14 or 17 points, and don't score all your points in the first quarter like they did against Arkansas State, and then, you know, they scored 7 points in the third quarter and beyond. Either against JSU, they're going to get beat. So, for me, if I'm looking at this from a Kennesaw State perspective, it's show us that you have improved, That way I can believe in you again, because I still am not quite there yet. I don't know if you have different thoughts on that.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely a show me what you made of game for Kennesaw. Are they the real deal, or I guess by their standards, since moving up, or are you not? And this is at home, looking to get their, I believe that'll be their first conference game. Yes, looking to get their first conference game and their second conference win overall. So we'll, yeah, this will be another week of questions being answered, learning a little bit more about a few of the programs within the conference. Not a huge slate. A few teams have off weeks, and then I think New Mexico is probably just going to run over New Mexico State. New Mexico State just has not looked great so far. I know they have the two wins over Bryant and what's the other one? Tulsa. And the Tulsa win actually ended up, they just and then, steamrolled Oklahoma State.
And Tulsa went and got Gundy fired too. So,
yeah, no kidding. So yeah, that win's looking a lot better, but, this is a rivalry that probably doesn't get talked about enough, because they absolutely despise each other. Wasn't it yes, Diego Pavia that peed on the New Mexico logo or practice field a couple of years ago?
I believe so. Yes, it was. The Rio Grande rivalry, one of the lesser known great rock fights in college football.
Yeah, it's been a rock fight in years past, just because, you know, neither program has really had a ton of prominence other than, you know, the couple of years that Pavia was there. But New Mexico certainly seems to be improved. Their only loss was to Michigan in the Big House, and even then it was 34-17. They played with them. That game was – I don't think Michigan ran away with it till middle, early in the fourth quarter. And then – beat Idaho State, who's usually a decent FCS team, and then of course UCLA is just an absolute dumpster fire.
Speaking of dumpster fire Power Four teams, as good of a job as Greg Sites does, and how much we think he's helped this football program since he's been in charge, man, schedule us in Oklahoma State or Virginia Tech, man, they'll say yes. Vandy didn't, but I mean, goodness, we're, you know, and UCF was probably a good one to schedule, and then. To be completely fair with you, the UCF loss by 7 looks better and better and better and better every week, because UCF is
looks a lot better.
Rolling right now. They look really good, but man, run us out there against, you know, Oklahoma State, who's probably about the same level as Kennesaw is right now, and let us get a big win on the road. But that's a problem for later on. I know we have Auburn next year, and they look to be improved under Hugh Freeze, minus forgetting the guard receivers who were walking off the field. But anyway, we'll digress from that. unless you have anything else, Brooks, we'll jump in here real quick to our little bit of Southern Miss preview and kind of what the game plan might look like and what Jack State needs to do to leave Hattiesburg with a victory. To start with, this is going to be a tough game. I think we were all a little bit overconfident in the team when they went to Statesboro, and you kind of saw kind of what happened there. I know we spotted them a lot of points with kick return issues. And, you know, if they play that game again, they are likely to win. But I don't want to be overconfident, but I don't want to be negative at the same time. They are 3.5-point underdogs right now, and I think that's a pretty fair line. These two teams have, you know, they're both at 2-2. Jack State's lost to a good Sun Belt team in Georgia Southern, so they're mislost to a good Conference USA team in Louisiana Tech. So I think the 3.5-point line in favor of the Eagles is fair. But modus operandi number one for the defense is stopping the pass. Because we did just see Braylon Bratchen throw for 392 and two touchdowns against La Tech. And we've said that La Tech's defense has been good in the past couple years, or good this year and was good last year. So Jack State, first thing you need to do is stop the pass, because Braylon Bratchen will throw the ball as much as he needs to. The one thing to kind of look at on the – on the Southern Miss defensive side of it. They are pretty good against the run. They are, what, fifth in the Sun Belt against the run. They're giving up 3.6 per carry, or at least average per carry. So they've been pretty good. They're giving up 143.3 per game. Now, they have not played a running back to the caliber of Cam Cook, and that even goes to whoever Mississippi State has running the football. I do not believe him to be the caliber of Cam Cook. So this will be the best running attack they've seen. So that 3.6 per carry that they're giving up, obviously Jack State's going to have to be over that to get this win, because that's just how Jack State needs to move the football. But that is the one thing to look at with the Eagle defense. They have been good against the run for the most part this year. Against the pass, they are not quite as good against the pass. They're giving up a 63.5% completion percentage, and they're giving up, 255 yards a game. So if we do have issues running the football because the run defense is pretty good, Gavin Wimsatt will have his chances to lead this offense through the air. We haven't really seen that yet from him. His passing ability has improved drastically from game to game, we think, and especially against an easier opponent like Murray State, he's going to have several extra days to get ready for this Southern Miss defense, because if Southern Miss really does stop the run, better than what Jack State has seen this year, the way to move the ball against the Eagles is through the air, giving up, like I said, 250 plus per game. So that is the Southern Mississippi defense in a nutshell. Again, and if Jack State, like I said, they're going to be the best rushing attack that the Eagles have seen this year, that 3.6 per carry may not really matter as much against JSU, especially with how good the offensive line for Jack State has been. They may be able to run the ball regardless, but in the event that, like we saw last year against Louisiana Tech, right? Louisiana Tech stopped the run last year against Jack State. I know that's a different team, different coaches, but we had to lean on Tyler Huffsbleed to throw the ball to beat La Tech last year. You could see the same thing here against Southern Miss. We may have to lean on Gavin Wimsatt throwing the ball more to be successful. So that being said, if we can run the ball like we want to, I like our odds to score a lot of points. The biggest thing is can the defense stop the pass with what Braylon Braxton can do through the air? We haven't really seen it yet this year where they've looked really good against the pass, but this is the week to see it, because they're going to see probably the best quarterback they've seen up until this point.
Yeah, there's no doubt. this game and Jack State's ability to win it is going to start and end on how they're able to affect Braylon Braxton. I mean, the guy's he's a phenomenal athlete. He was the bread and butter at Marshall last year, and he's the bread and butter at Southern Miss this year. Don't look at that game, that Louisiana Tech game, and think, well, this might be a little bit of a easier win than I won't say easier win, but a lesser of a game than what we thought. This is still a phenomenal. This is not your mother's Southern Miss. This is not the Southern Miss that we saw last year. This is a completely different. Well, it's Marshall's roster from last year, pretty much. But at the end of the day, it comes down to.
I was saying, unfortunately, Tate Rodemaker is not at Southern Miss anymore.
Yeah.
Because he threw the ball to Jack State a whole lot last year.
He was our best friend that day. Braylon Braxton, probably not, though. They throw it, 50 times a game. He's already over the 1,000-yard mark, 1,084 passing yards. With a pretty good completion percentage. He's also their leading rusher, but only at 128. So, and this is certainly a pass first offense, obviously, but I think that'll be a key, not giving up any of those surprise running plays, will certainly be a key factor. I think, though, from what I've watched of them, where they make their money is on the deep ball. That was certainly when they were able to get production against Louisiana Tech. That's certainly where they got it, on those 20 plus yard throws. And he puts the ball in a spot where only the receiver can get it. He's phenomenal, or has phenomenal touch. in accuracy. So it's going to be how well we're able to affect him. He's not the most mobile quarterback. So I thought against Murray, we did a lot better job of rushing up on the edge and keeping the quarterback contained in that pocket. So I don't see him, you know, going and peeling off 15, 20 yards on a scramble. So, you know, being able to keep him contained, but not just get, we're going to have probably 3+ sacks and really rattle his cage. So that's the biggest thing for me. But like I said, the deep ball, that's where they've made their money. And I think so far we've defended, we haven't given up, you know, a lot of go routes. The only time I can think of where they just, you know, receivers went on really long runs was that Liberty game. And those were from the backfield, kind of funky plays. Really it was that, no, they had a couple, on kind of funky plays, wheel routes. And, I don't see Southern Miss doing that necessarily. But still, going to need a big day from Trekon Fagans, Trevor Woods, the entire defensive backfield. excuse me. But like I said earlier, they're going to watch our film and know that our biggest hole on defense is stopping that crossing route. So we could see them mix it up a little bit more, you know, throwing those slants and then getting, you know, trying to get 10+ yards after catch. This is the week where we're really going to have to improve on that in practice. I hope anyways, that was the main point of emphasis for Kelly and this defense. Offensively though, what I saw of them against Louisiana Tech was similar to, you know, our hole on offense. They did not defend the cross. They did not defend the middle of the field very well. In a game where we're going to have to throw it a lot, like you said, similar to last year against Louisiana Tech, we're going to have to throw it a lot in order to be able to win the game. I think this is where we can take advantage of. We like to throw a lot of outside passes, but this may have to be the week where we swap it up and work the inside and middle of the field more. I'm not worried about the running game too much. Like you said, this will more likely be the best running back that they've seen, and I fully expect our offense to be able to. Or offensive line to give Cam Cook, and getting Andrew Paul back this week is going to be big. Giving those guys good looks. especially Andrew Paul, because with Louisiana Tech, once they got up around the goal line, they just bullied them up front and pushed for, you know, 5-6 yards into the end zone. And I think that's what we like to run with Andrew Paul, primarily. So I expect him to have a big impact there.
yeah, absolutely.
But overall, just, you know, it's taken those things that we did improve upon against Murray State and applying them to a much better team. I think that's going to be the key. If we can really affect Braylon Braxton, I think we have a good shot to win. Like I said, right now, the line is Southern Miss 4.5, but ESPN's matchup predictor has us with a ever so slight edge at 50.4% to Southern Miss's 49.6%. So it's going to be on the road. It's going to be in a tough environment. I think Southern Miss is very excited about the squad and what they have to offer. But I think if we can just limit. He's going to make big plays. If we can just limit Braylon Braxton and what he's able to do, I think we got a really good shot at winning this.
Yeah, I agree. If JSU can stop the pass and fix some of the coverage issues we've seen, then I feel confident in a Gamecock victory. If they can't, then, you know, they're going to have to play, like we said, really good on offense, and that may
that may involve Gavin Wimsatt having a great day through the air if like we said, Southern Miss does stop the run better than what JSU has seen. And then real quick before we get out of here, finish the wrap up there. Jack State, you know, we're a third of the way through the regular season. So for the, you know, 2 minutes here, they're 2-2, right? At this point last year, they were what, 1-3, with a win against, Kennesaw State, I think was their only win at that point. So, or maybe Miss. Mexico State was our first win, or Southern Miss. Yeah. They all run together. You know, this first year under this coaching staff, 2-2, feel like we kind of maybe threw a game away against Georgia Southern with kick coverage there. Might have been 3-1. So I feel good about where the team is and where they're going to be going forward. It does seem like Coach Trickett and Coach Kelly really want to throw the ball for their offense. Like, we've seen this offense be the most successful when the pass has worked. Like against Georgia Southern, they threw the ball pretty well and scored a lot of points. We saw the same thing against Murray State, which I know the level of competition there is a lot different. So at this point in the year, you know, the pass will get better as we go. But what I really want to think about what next year can look like as far as, you know, is Jack Moran your quarterback of the future? And do you kind of build some receivers around him as well as maybe retaining, you know, one or two of these really good running backs and having a great run game along with a potent pass attack? And this team could go really accomplish great things. As we know, the defense is going to improve. The secondary will get better under Coach Kelly. They had a lot, a ton missing when he took over in late December there after Rich Rod's departure. So as far as what the team looks like this year, certainly expect, 8-4, 9-3, hell, 10-2 if they get things rolling this week. But next year, you kind of look at that year with a quarterback like Jack Brand, who thinks going to be the starter for hopefully several years after that, and think you get really excited about where the program is, even though they've had a 2-2 start. And, we've seen some, I don't want to say bad coaching decisions, that's not the word for it, but some coaching decisions that we're not accustomed to seeing, like being uber aggressive on fourth down or fake punts or fake field goals. This is all new to us as well. Jack State hadn't faked a field goal in like 20 some odd years or whatever it was before they ran the fake there against Georgia Southern. So I feel great about where the program is headed long term. Obviously, the goal this week is to go beat Southern Miss, but I did want to kind of get that out before we left. But either way, we will talk to you guys after the Southern Miss game. Hopefully, we'll talk about a Gamecock victory. Jack State does get the bye week after this one, so we'll talk to you a little bit earlier on in the week than we normally do. It won't be a 2-for-1 episode. We'll just do the Southern Miss recap and talk about some of the conference stuff from this week. And then we'll go from there. But beyond that, I hope you guys have a great day. Come follow us on Twitter, all that good stuff. And we'll talk about a Gamecock victory early next week.
Real quick before we go, I meant to say this 2 episodes ago, but we got talking about this, that, and the other. Two episodes ago was our 50th episode. And I just wanted to give a quick, shout out. Thank you to everybody that has supported us this in our journey with State of the Gamecocks this far. If you asked us when we started this, that we would be to the point where we are getting asked to go on other people's shows and getting to interview the people that we have, I don't know that we would have believed you. When we started this thing, like Drew said, if we can get 15, 20 listeners an episode, then we'll be more than happy just to keep doing it, and we've more than surpassed it. and this has been nothing but just an absolutely super fun experience. I've loved every second of it. It wouldn't have been made possible without you guys are listeners, and we could not be grateful for last. This will be 53 episodes, but the last 50 episodes, and we're very excited to see what the next 50 and beyond have. But just wanted to go give a quick shout out and a quick thank you to everyone that has supported us this far. Like Drew said, this is a team that has continued to improve one way or another. I know the record's 2-2, but this is a team that has continued to improve one way or another through it every week. We knew the talent was there, especially from doing a complete 180 from what the team was last year and losing, you know, 90% of our roster and our entire coaching staff, minus Rick Trickett. And really the only reason he's still here is because the son came here too. But nonetheless, we knew the talent was there. We knew the potential was there. It was just going to be a matter of how long it would take us to mold together to create that chemistry. And I think so far we've done a pretty good job of creating that chemistry, of getting the ball rolling pretty quick. You know, we're 2-2, but you know, we kind of threw away a game against Georgia Southern. We certainly threw away a game against UCF. Those games, you know, go our way on a couple plays here and there. We could be potentially talking about Jack State making a playoff. Especially with the way that UCF has looked since that first game. But I like our chances. I like our chances for the rest of the season, certainly against Southern Miss. I think we're going to just keep continuing to improve. And that's really all you can ask for out of the staff. Just keep improving, keep making those adjustments. And I think we're going to keep, seeing them as the season goes on. Hopefully we'll talk to y'all guys early next week about a Southern Miss win. We'll see y'all then.